Okay, tonight is Wednesday night, November 11th, or Ches Kislev. This is the Gemara Shir, up to Masecha Sukkah, Daf Nun Dalon Amar Aleph.
Hey, Rabotai. We're on Daf Nun Dalon Amar Aleph. Four lines from the top. The Mishnah on Nun Gimel Amud Beis, in the second half of the Mishnah, which described the number of tkiyot that would be blown on Erev Shabbos Shebetoch HaChag, Erev Shabbos in the middle of the Yontif of Sukkos, the Mishnah says there were 48 blasts. Shalosh L'Ptichat She'arim, Shalosh L'Shar Ha'Elyon, V'Shalosh L'Shar HaTachton, V'Shalosh L'Milui Hamayim, V'Shalosh Al-Gabi HaMizbeach. So there were a series of blasts. One is, in general, the opening of the gates, which took place every single day. Then three Sha'ar Ha'Elyon, three Shar HaTachton, we'll explain those in a minute, Shalosh L'Milui Hamayim, and Shalosh Al-Gabi HaMizbeach. So these, which I just enumerated, all refer to the Nisuch HaMayim. So the procedure is the Shar HaElyon is identified as Shar Nikanor. I should have, there are some Gemaras that have a map in the back of the Gemara, and you can actually see which gates we're referring to. And it's called the Shar HaElyon because there are steps that you have to take. There are 15 steps that you have to take in order to reach this gate. And Shar Nikanor is the passageway into the Azara itself. So they would be coming from the Azara with a Kli Shares going through that particular gate called the Shar HaElyon, then going down the steps, and then passing through to the gate, which is called the Shar HaTachton, on the bottom, which in effect takes them out of the Beis HaMikdash to the Shiloach, where they would draw the water for the Nisuch HaMayim. And so there were three sets of blasts. When they reached the Shar HaElyon, that's leaving the Azara into the Ezras Nashim, part of the Mikdash, going down the steps and exiting the Mikdash itself. And then the Mishnah said, Shalosh L'Milui Hamayim. When they actually draw the water, that would be another time to signal through three Chatzotzros. So the Gemara is going to comment on this by citing a brisa which includes something that our Mishnah does not have. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, on top of Nun Dal.
Sorry, going back, but it says in the Mishnah, it says Shalosh, the Tikas HaShe'arim.
Right.
So then it lists two gates.
Right. The Psich HaShe'arim is the opening of all the gates.
All the gates.
Which took place every single day of the year.
Okay.
Not unique necessarily to the Yontif of Sukkos. This part of the Mishnah is enumerating when the Mishnah said the minimum number of tkios is 21, the maximum number is 48, so the maximum is reached on Erev Sukkos, on Erev Shabbos Shebesochachah. Erev Shabbos in the Yontif of Sukkos. So now the Gemara is going to comment and say, Erev Shabbos Shebesochachah, Ve'ilu lemala asiris lo katani. The fact that they would blow when they ascended to the 10th step, the Mala Asiris. There are 15 steps going down from the Azara to the Ezras Nashim. They apparently, according to our Mishnah, they did not blow
when they reached the 10th step, Lamala Asiris, Masnisin Mani, who might be the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The author of this opinion is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Sanya, because we learn a Brisa that says to the contrary, Shalosh Lamala Asiris. They would blow three additional sounds, not only when they exited at the Shar HaElyon, which is the Shar Nikanor, as they start going down the steps, and they protrude five steps, descend five steps, and now they're on the 10th level, under those circumstances, they are going to blow, according to this Brisa, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and so our Mishnah doesn't agree with that, because our Mishnah doesn't list the Malo HaAsiris. So now if you're going to list, if the Mishnah is going to claim that there is another three, if the Brisa rather is going to claim that there are another three blasts at the Malo HaAsiris, apparently there are more than 48 blasts. There are 51 blasts, according to somebody at least. According to somebody, there are 51 blasts. And no one said, when the Mishnah had commented that the maximum is 48, the Mishnah didn't say, well, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that what? That there are 51. Why wouldn't the Gemara or the Mishnah, why wouldn't the Mishnah alert us that it's not a universally accepted opinion that the maximum number of tkios were 48 if Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov actually said they blew an additional three blasts when they reached Lamalo HaAsiris?
Why don't they assume that he subtracted from somewhere else?
Oh, that's what the Gemara is going to say. Okay. Very good. Okay, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Shalosh al Gabe HaMizbeach. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that that they blew instead Shalosh al Gabe HaMizbeach, which our Mishnah happens to list. Our Mishnah says Shalosh al Gabe HaMizbeach. Our Mishnah does say that. So now the Gemara is going to say exactly what Moshe said. Ha'omer l'mala asiris eino omer al gabi amizbeach. V'ha'omer al gabi amizbeach eino omer l'mala asiris. So the Gemara says, remains steadfast. The maximum number of sounds blasted is only 48. So if you believe that there are three additional sounds blown at the Malo Asiris, you will discount the three at the Al-Gabe HaMizbeach. If you include the three, as our Mishnah does, the three Al-Gabe HaMizbeach, you automatically discount the Shalosh of Malo Asiris. That's what the Gemara says. And the question is, what exactly is the source of the debate as to whether you blow chatzotros on the Malo Asiris or instead al gabe hamizbeach? Now, yeah.
No.
The Gemara says no. Our Mishnah is
caps.
Right. Exactly.
The
Brisa says the Mishnah does not mention Lamala Asiris.
Yes.
Right? So therefore the Brisa, the Mishnah is now identifying Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He says you do not blow Lamala Asiris. The Tanakhama of this Brisa say you blow Lamala Asiris. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says you do not. So the author of our Mishnah is, as the Gemara says, is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Question is, what exactly is the debate between the two opinions, whether you would blow, you'd prefer to blow on the Agabe HaMizbeach, or you would prefer to blow out the Mala Agabe HaSiris? So first of all, when it says Agabe HaMizbeach, what exactly is taking place when it says Shalosh Agabe HaMizbeach? So you're going to fall to my trap right away. What do you think it's going to refer to? If the sequence is three for the Shar HaElyon, three for the Shar HaTachton, three for Milui HaMayim, and three Al Gabe HaMizbeach. What do you think it's going to be?
Like
when you pour the water. Exactly. That's the simple pshat, which you would think. And that's not correct. All Rishonim say that Shalosh al Gabi HaMizbeach refers to Zekifas Arava. Zekifas Arava. Why do all Rishonim say that the Shalosh al Gabi HaMizbeach means the Zekifas Arava? As you well know, that in the Beis HaMikdash, in addition to taking Arba Minim every day of Yom Tov, in Gvulin, rest of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, Arba Minim is limited to one day. As the Torah states in Parshas Amor, Ulekachtam Lachem Bayom HaRishon. However, in Mikdash, you're obligated to take Lulav and Esrog all 7 days. By virtue of the fact that the end of that Pasuk says, Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokechem Shivas Yamim. We did this when we studied the third parak. And the Yerushalmi says, Besimchas Halulav HaKosov Medaber. So you're supposed to take in the Mikdash, Midda Oraisa, a lulav and esrog all 7 days. All seven. We take it all 7 days as Zecha LeMikdash to commemorate the practice that took place in the Mikdash. However, there is a halacha l'maisha misinai, doesn't exist in the text, halacha l'maisha misinai, that in addition to the arba minim in the Mikdash, you also have to take an arava, a separate netila, which is called chibut arava, which we studied already. And they would place it against the Mizbeach, Zekifas HaMizbeach. Every Rishon believes, the Ritva says it black on blue, that when it says Shalosh Agabe HaMizbeach, it means when they took the Arava, stood it up against the Mizbeach, that's when they would blow three. There would not be a separate blowing for the Nisuch HaMayim, even though it appears that way, because the Nisuch HaMayim was made when, Rabotai? When was the Nisuch HaMayim made or done? At the same time as the Niskeyayin. Niskeyayin. We know that every single day in the Mikdash, the Korban Tamid was accompanied with the Nisachim. We say that when we daven Musaf. Umin Chasam v'Niskeyem kimidubar. So there was always Niskeyayin. And one time, in relationship to the Nisachim in Parshas Pinchas, in the Nisachim of the Korban Musaf, it says Unisachera, Unisachera, which is the plural. So the Gemara learns out that the two Nisachim have to be done at the same time. The Nisach HaMayim and the Nisach HaYayin have to be done at the same time. Hence, there already is a Chatzotzros blast for the times of Nisachim. Every day of the year, when they were Minaseich, Yayin, Agabe HaMizbeach, who opened up their mouth in song? The Levim. HaLevim, Hashir Shah HaLevim, Hayon Bebeis HaMikdash. When do the Levim sing? When they pour the wine. And that's when the Chatzotros were blown as well. So as a result of the fact that the Niskeyayin are offered at the exact same time as the Niskeyayin, it doesn't need a separate three-trumpet blast to highlight the pouring of the water on the Gabi HaMizbeach. Because the blast that was used for the Niskeyayin covered as well the Niskeyayin. Hence, when the Mishnah says, Shalosh al Gabi HaMizbeach, that is not what we all fell into the trap based on the sequence that it would be for the Niskeyayin, the pouring of the wine on the Mizbeah, but rather for Nitilat Arava. That the special Arava that is taken in the Mikdash, based on the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that's when they put it and stood it up against the Mizbeah, that's when they sounded the Chatzotzros according to this, according to our Mishnah. Yes?
Rashi suggests that it's possible that time.
That's correct. Rashi's going to say that even the Niskeyayin. That's correct. Most Rishonim don't agree with Rashi. But Rashi says that. We'll see why he says in a second.
So is this in the one? Is that included in the nine of Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Ra'im? The nine?
That's correct. Yes. Yes.
Why did they blow when they went down to the through the gates and not on the way back up?
That's a very good question. I don't know. I've looked around quite a bit. I haven't found anybody who identifies. Why did they make the announcement when they were going down? When they were going down. Apparently, it was one of the things which always was associated with an activity that the Tzdukim disagreed with. They always wanted to do it befumbi, with a lot of pomp and circumstance. So, since the Tzdukim do not accept the principle of Nisach HaMayim, because it's not found anywhere in the text, they don't necessarily subscribe to Halacha LaMoshe Sinai. As a result, they deliberately wanted to make the tekes of going out to get the water the publicity stunt was done at that particular time. We see this in another area as well. The Mishnah in Menachos tells us that the Kitsiras HaOmer was accompanied by lots of fanfare. They blew Chatzoitzvus then too. And when did they do it? Not when they were makriv the Korban Omer, but when they went out to cut the grain on the way out. Because as you well know, the Tzdukim believed that the Omer is always cut Motzo'ei Shabbat of the Yontov of Pesach. Motzo'ei Shabbat. So if Pesach comes out on a Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, or Wednesday, the Ktziras HaOmer takes place Saturday night, and the counting of the Omer begins on Saturday night, and therefore it concludes always on a Shabbos, and Shavuos is always on a Sunday. Because they interpret the word Bacharat HaShabbat as literally the day after Shabbos. We believe that Yom Tov is also identified, at least according to Torah Shebaal Peh, Bacharat HaShabbos means the day after Pesach, Bachras Achad, and we start counting the Omer after the first day. So that was another activity which was done with a lot of pomp and circumstances. The Gemara says that three members of the Sanhedrin accompanied the cutting of the grain, and they would all cut the grain, pick the grain up, make a whole big ceremony out of it, again, because the Tzdukim happened, especially during Bayis Sheni, were incredibly popular. And they had a lot of support. So here, the blowing was done to highlight the approach to fill up the water, the Nisach HaMayim. So now, here comes the debate. If you remember correctly, the Halacha LaMoshe Sinai, which legislates that there is Nisach HaMayim, and the Halacha LaMoshe Sinai that legislates that there is such a thing as an Arava, is always quoted B'Neshima Achas. Every single time in Talmud Bavli, without fail, every single time that they mention one, even though they're not discussing the other, they always mention Arava Shebemikdash, Nisach HaMayim, and Eser Netios. There are three things that are always communicated together. The Eser Netios is related to a different halacha. I'm not going to discuss it tonight. Not related to Sukkos, but the Arava and Nisach HaMayim are. So here comes the focal point of the debate. If you believe, Rabotai, that the Arava is in effect designed to somehow amplify or to enhance the Nisach HaMayim ceremony. Namely, two things were done to be mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there should be adequate rainfall. After all, the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah tells us that Bechag Nidonan Alamayim, that the decision as to how much water will be allocated in this world, in the world, throughout the world, is decided upon by HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Yontov of Sukkos. So there are many symbols which we use which demonstrate the fact that I am being mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for water. Nisach HaMayim is one of them. That's why there is this ceremony called Nisach HaMayim. Well, many believe that the Netilas Arava is done so as well. Because an Arava is very dependent upon what? Upon water. It's called the way the Torah describes it is Arve Nachal. So how do you get a brook? How do you get brooks? You need rainwater to fill up the brooks, to make sure that there's an adequate supply. So as a result, some claim, many do, that the kiyum of the Arava is synonymous with the kiyum of Milui HaMayim. Hence, I don't really need a special blasting of the Chatzotzros for the Zekifas Arava. When I place the Arava on the Mizbeach, I don't need a special blast. Why? Because it's all part of what? Of the same ceremony, namely the prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on behalf of rain. Which begins with what? With exiting the Mikdash. So I blow the Shalosh for the Shara Elyon, Shalosh on the Amalah HaAsiris, Shalosh on the Shar HaTachton, and then I don't need the three Ala Gabe HaMizbeach, because after all, the Arava put on the Mizbeach is in effect related very much so to the Nisuch HaMayim, which has its own Chatzotros as well at the time when you are Menasech the Mayim. And in fact, as you pointed out, Rashi claims that the Zakifas Arava was timed. When did they put that Arava leaning against the Mikdash? Precisely when another Kohen was Menasech the Mayim al Gabi HaMizbeach. In which case, they preferred the Malah HaAsiris versus the Mizbeach. And you'll ask me, why will they have preferred the Malah HaAsiris versus the Mizbeach? And Rashi just says, Rashi, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Lamala Asiris, he doesn't, look at the Rashi, B'dibur Amas, L'gabe HaMizbeach, L'amali D'toka HaToka Kfar L'bilu Yamai, Kol T'kios Halalu, Shel Shar HaElyon V'HaTachton, V'Shar HaMayim, Mishum Milu HaMayim, is to highlight the tekes, the ceremony of drawing the water. Hilkach la'arava lomali tkiya. What do I need a tkiya for? What? For the arava. Now Rashi doesn't tell us what I just told you. What do you mean lomali tkiya? What's wrong with making a tkiya by the arava? But Rashi just dismisses it because he assumes that we'll know that he believes that the arava itself is also related to the expression of prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on behalf of rain. Now that I know that there are 12 sounds of the shofar connected with what? With the special ritual of Sukkos, 12 of the 48 are related to the special ritual of Milui Amayim. Lemala ha'asiris adif lemeevad. I prefer that you blow on the 10th one, on the 10th step, as opposed to what? To the gabi demizbeach. Demucha chamilsa shehei mishumili hamayim. Because it is so obvious, if you were to blow on the mala asiris, why are you blowing it? Why are you blowing it? Why? Because you're on the way, you're on the process of what? Of filling up the water. Umala asiris mishum demakom misuyim ba'almahu leida heichan token osan. What does that mean? Rashi asks, okay, what's the significance of the mala asiris? Says Rashi, nothing. There is none. But you got to know, you know, they mentioned the mala asiris to let you know, well, somewhere along the steps, that's what they're going to be, when they're walking down the steps, when they left the top gate, when they're walking down the steps, and when they exit the Mikdash on the way to the Shiloah. But there's no significance per se, according to Rashi, to the 10th step. It's just a way of identifying, it could have been the 9th step, could have been the 8th step, it's just a way of identifying that what? That you're blowing on the steps as the procession is taking place to go to the Milui Hamayim. So learns Rashi. It might be that the Malah HaAsiris is not just any old number, but it has to do with perception. If you're standing on the bottom of the platform, bottom level, and there are 15 steps, where will the eyes of a normal height human being be focused on? So the Ritva says, try it. Next time you go to Yerushalayim, you go to the Har HaBayis, you'll try this. What will happen? It'll wind up on the Malah HaAsiris. The reason why they did it on the Malah HaAsiris, because as they are carrying the klisharis, the vessel, with which they are going to what? Draw the water. As they step down to the 10th level, anybody standing in the plaza will have his eyes fixated on that particular step, and therefore it's the Mala Asiris. Rashi claims there's no significance. It's just to let you know that you blow a series of blasts somewhere on those steps. But in any event, the reason why you choose not to blow for the Zakifas Arava is because Zakifas Arava, according to this opinion, is really related to the experience of the Nisuch Amar. Now, what about the Braisa? What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says you don't blow on the Mala Asiris. Where do you blow? So our Mishnah, that's what the Braisa holds. The Braisa holds that they're related. The Mishnah must hold that no. That despite the fact that Zakifas Arava and Nisuch HaMayim are mentioned in the same Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that doesn't mean that they necessarily are the exact identical kiyuv. And that the Arava procedure and the procession has nothing to do whatsoever for Milui HaMayim. And as a result, in order to maintain the number, they felt it would be more important to highlight the announcement that today we are doing something most unusual in the Mikdash. In addition to Arba Minim, which took place as well in Gvulin, in the Mikdash, they're also going ahead and doing what? They're Makif the Mizbeach, they walk around the Mizbeach seven times, and then they're standing an arava on this particular on the mizbeach. So, in order to highlight that, the Mishnah feels against the Braisa that it's far more preferable to blow for the agave mizbeach to highlight the zakifas arava and forget about blowing the additional three blasts as you are walking down the steps. There's already enough publicity for the Mili Amayim. At the Shara Elyon, Shara Tachton, and when they actually drew the water, that's enough. I don't need any additional ones. What might be the unique symbol, Rabotai, of the Zakifas Arava, if it's not related to the Mili Amayim? What message is it trying to share with each and every one of us? So everybody knows that in the hierarchy of the Midrash, based on the Arba Minim, the Arava has no distinguishing features. It has no taste, and has no Reach. The Esrog is considered the grape. It has taste, it's a fruit, and it schmeckt good. An Esrog smell. Hadas, you smell. A Lulav is from a palm tree. It's from a date from palm tree, so it has fruits. You can eat it. The Arava has absolutely nothing. And according to, again, the Medrash, and particularly the Zohar, the Arava represents the person in Klal Yisrael who has not necessarily distinguished him or herself either in the realm of Torah or in the realm of Gemilas Chassad. You look at the Medrash Rabban Parshas Emor, you'll find such references left and right. Esrog is somebody who has both Gemilus Chesed and Torah. This person has nothing. So why would I take the least symbolic, the least meaningful min, and place it on the Mizbeach? Because the Mizbeach is the symbol of self-sacrifice, of sacrifice. And that when it comes to demanding sacrifice for belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that demand is going to be expected of every member of Klal Yisrael, not only the Rosh Kibahar, not only the Rav Roshi, not only the Chassidish Rebbe. Every single member of Klal Yisrael has the capacity to demonstrate one's faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and willingness to do anything on his behalf as is symbolized by HaKrov Al HaMizbeach. So the public blast of the Chatzotzros is designed, according to the Mishnah, to focus on the Zakifas Arava, and they waived instead the three that were blown on the steps, either specifically on the 10th or any of the steps which highlighted the tekes of the Milui HaMayim. Yes?
If you say that the 15 steps relate to the 15 Shir HaMalos.
Yes.
And if you start on the top,
right?
The fifth one is the only one that mentions Mayim. says Mayim HaZeidonim, and it says...
Excellent. That would be perfect. Excellent. Very good. Excellent. Very good. Very good. The only thing is, that will fill in down according to some Rishayim. Other Rishayim say that the 10th, Malasiris is 10 steps. So where are you early on? On the fifth one. You take 10 steps down. That's what it means, the Malasiris.
So I don't know which
but this, way, but which this confirms, this, that's very good. It's very good. Excellent. Excellent. Excellent.
You have to start top down. I
just want to, you know, to take a second, because it's important, to just to frame where the kernel of the debate between the Stuk and the Prushim really were. When he went to elementary school and high school, we were all told that Stukim didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what we're told. Ask any of your kids, and you know things, they didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. It's impossible. I think I told this to you once. If not, I'm telling you tonight. It's impossible that the Tzdukim did not believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. Because there would be no dialogue, there'd be no threat of the Tzduki if he didn't believe at all in Torah Shebaal Peh. 99.9% of all mitzvot require Torah Shebaal Peh in order to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in mind. The Torah says on the other Basukot Teshvu Shivat Yamim. How do you know what a sukkah is? Is it a teepee? How do you know what a sukkah is? Only Torah Shebaal Peh tells you that it has two walls, complete walls, and the third one a tefach wide, and it needs schach. How would you know that? By reading the pasuk Basukot Teshvu Shivat Yamim. The Torah tells you to put on tefillin. Would anybody know what you put into a box of tefillin unless this Torah Shebaal Peh? The Torah doesn't say what it is. So there would be no, somebody who denied Torah Shebaal Peh would be involved in so little of commonality with a traditional Jew that there'd be no threat, no discussion, there'd be no chance in the world that a Tzduki would wind up to be the Kohen Gadol, as they did from time to time. Wherever the Torah text doesn't say anything, the Tzdukim had to agree that Torah Shebaal Peh is the way to define that text. Where the kernel of the debate was, which was a serious one, is where the Torah does tell you what to do, and Torah Shebaal Peh says, don't follow the simple reading of the text. The Torah says, Ukshartam le'ot al yadech. I know what your yad means. This is my hand, right here. So the Torah says, you tie this thing. What that thing is, that's Torah Shebaal Peh. It's Stuki wore the same thing, same, either wore Rashi's or Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, one of the same, one of the two. They didn't wear something that didn't look like tefillin. Otherwise, nobody would get upset with them. They wore the same tefillin, but they tied it on their hand, because it says Al Yadecha. All of a sudden, the Prushim said, what do you mean? It doesn't mean Al Yadecha, it means up here. And they argued effectively and convincingly, how do you rabbis have a right to tell us that the Torah says A, and you're saying B. The Torah says, Usfartam lechem imachros ha-Shabbos. Shabbos means Shabbos. Doesn't mean Yom Tov. If you wanted a Yom Tov, the Torah could have said very nicely, Usfartam lechem imachros ha-Chag. Could have said that. Chag appears in the Torah. Why did the Torah say imachros ha-Shabbos? It's we, the Prushim, who are changing the interpretation of the text. Interpretation. That's why it was such a dangerous movement, because it was compelling and logical at that particular time. But something like Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, there the Tzdukim didn't believe it, because there's no reference to it in the text. They accepted what the text says. Rabbis coming along and say, hey, Moshe Rabbeinu came down with something. Why didn't he write it in the Chumash? Why didn't he write it in the Chumash? In the Torah. So therefore, Nisuch HaMayim and things like that, they didn't believe at all. Because there is no reference in the text to such an institution. Lama Gein Vayter. So again, the kernel of the debate is whether Arava is related to Nisuch HaMayim or as a separate kiyum, which now would demand a... let's just finish the Gemara. My time in the Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov. Kevon the Tokal of Psicha Sharim, once I blow for the opening of the gates,
Lamala Asirus Lamalahi Dutaka. What do I have to blow again? Hailav Sharhu. The steps are not a gate. You blow and you enter the gate. When you enter the gate at the transition from the Azara into the Ezras Nashim, and you blow at the gate at the transition from the Mikdash outside of the Mikdash. Hilkach Agabi HaMizbeach Adiv. We prefer that you blow by the Zakifas Arava. For Rabbanan Savre, Kevan de Toka Lamilui Hamayim Agabi HaMizbeach Lomali. Once they blow already for the Milui Hamayim, what do they need Agabi HaMizbeach? Why? Because the Milui Hamayim, the Nisuch Hamayim, is the exact same symbol as what? As the Arava. Hilkach Lamala Asiris Adiv. Therefore, they prefer that an additional blast, three blasts, be blasted on the on the 10th step. Am I getting right? Ki asa Rav Acha Bar Chanina midroma, I see masnita biyadeh. When Rav Acha Bar Chanina from the south came, he brought a brisa with him. And he's going to read the brisa, and then he'll explain what the brisa has in mind. The Pasuk says, and I'm going to ask you to look at the sheets because it's critical in a couple of... First let me read the Gemara, then we'll read the sheets. Uvnei Aharon HaKohanim Yizke'u B'chatzotzros. She'ein Talmud Lomo Yizke'u. The Pasuk says, the Aharon, the children of Aharon, the Kohanim, shall blow the Chatzotzros. Asks the Brisa, it's totally unnecessary to tell me that they have to blow. Shikvar ne'emar, it has already been written, uskatem b'chatzotzos alaloseichem ve'alzivchei shalmeichem. Uma Talmud Lomi Yizku'u. Why does it say, uvnei Aharon HaKohanim Yizku'u b'chatzotzos? To teach you, hakol l'fi hamusafin tokin. That depending on the number of musafin, that's how many chatzotzos we will bring. Namely, that if it's a regular day where there's one carbon musaf, an ordinary Shabbos, so you blow three for the carbon musaf. But if there are multiple musafin, Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos, so you'll have a carbon Rosh Chodesh, a carbon musaf, and a carbon and a Yom Tov on Shabbos. You'll have a carbon musaf of Shabbos and a carbon musaf of Yom Tov. Says Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, you would now blow chatzotzros individually for each what? For each carbon musaf.
Three blasts.
Three blasts. That's correct. So now take a look at the psukim. Which psukim he quotes, and I'll take a nap while you ask the question which everybody asks on Rav Acha Bar Yaakov's. So you have in front of you Bamidbar Perek Yud, which describes the mitzvah chatzotzros. So the pasuk which he quoted was pasuk Ches. Uvnei Aharon HaKohanim yiskeu b'chatzotzros, v'hayu lachem l'chukas alon l'doroseichem. Aharon the Kohanim shall blow the chatzotzros, and this shall be for you a permanent statute. On the next page is pasuk. On the next page, on the back is pasuk Yud. Uviyom simchaschem u'moadechem roshei chatzechem uskatem b'chatzotzros. So now, look at the whole unit. Start with Pasuk Beis, or read any, read Pasuk Beis, maybe Pasuk Hey, maybe Pasuk Vav, and tell me what question would you ask on Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Rav Acha Bar Chanina.
There seems
to be lots of blowings here. Why is the first Pasuk that he comes to mind is Pasuk Ches. Uvnei Aharon HaKohanim Yisku B'chatzotzros V'hayolachem L'chukas Olam L'doroseichem. Why is that the first one? It already says in Pasuk Beis V'sok'u Bohen. And then it says in Pasuk Hei Uskatem Truon. So why don't you darshan those?
Those all have to do with traveling.
Says the Abarbanel in Chumash, in his commentary in Chumash. Pasuk Ches is obviously a transition pasuk. Correct. Exactly. Is a transition pasuk. The first seven psukim of this parsha describe the funksia, the function of chatzotzros, as they were limited only to the midbar. they will not have much of a carryover once Am Yisrael enter into Eretz Yisrael. Nobody's going to have to blow any chatzotzos to signal, hey, we're moving, hey, we're stopping. That's only while you travel the desert. However, the mitzvah of chatzotzos is not only a mitzvah l'sha'ah, but it's a mitzvah l'dorot, permanent. So the Torah makes the transition and says, "Uvnei Aaron haKohanim yisku b'chatzotzos, v'hayo v'hayu lachem lechukas alon l'doroseichem." I'm sending your mom a progress report. That it says lechukas alon l'doroseichem. That means that this particular pasuk has to be viewed as a future, not referring to the past in the midbar.
The other question I have is,
hold on one second. Yeah. So now Rabbi Bar Chanina says, what does this pasuk add if it already says in pasuk yud exactly when you're supposed to be blown? Because in pasuk ches it doesn't tell us when you blow. It just says the kohanim blow, but when? When do you blow chukas olam l'doroseichem? That is answered in pasuk yud. When? Uviyom simchaschem uvamoadechem uvarashi chadshechem usikatem b'chatzotzos aloseichem v'alzimchei shamechem. So that's perfect. Asks Rav Acha, what does the Torah communicate to us with the additional pasuk in pasuk ches of us of uvnei Aaron haKohanim yisku b'chatzotzos?
They're blowing it. The Kohanim do it.
Okay, that's the simple pshat. But that's a simple pshat. You're right. I grant you that. But his drash is, and they're going to disagree with him. People are going to say that he's wrong. Maybe that's the reason why they're going to say wrong, because he's taking the pasuk and darshaning it for no reason. You should darshan something when there's a difficulty in the text. If there's no difficulty in the text, why engage in drush? Just read the pshat. It's telling you that who should blow the chatzotzos, right? Because who blew the chatzotzos in the midbar?
In the masos. Yeah.
Who blew the chatzotzos?
Moshe.
Moshe blew them. Moshe blew the chatzotzos. So now the Torah is staying l'dor dorot uvnei Aaron haKohanim yisku. Yes.
What about pasuk tes?
No, that's supposed to be.
Okay, pasuk tes is
another purpose.
That's correct, but that we don't know if that's.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming it is.
Okay, but that's two. Right, but that's a different type of. I'm going to get to pasuk tes in a second. So first of all, we understand why he ignored v'taku in pasuk bet and. Uskatem truan pasuk he. Yes.
In pasuk gima it says v'takhu bahem. It doesn't say v'takam bahem Moshe. So it means, it's not something that Moshe did.
No, bahem means the chatzotzrot.
V'takhu bahem. V'takhu.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a baldictum. But you're probably right. Yeah. Okay. But anyhow, he now darshans this particular pasuk to teach you that what? That every single korban musaf requires its own chatzotzos. Let's read the Gemara, because the Gemara disagrees with him. And then we'll try to understand what the basis of the machloikas is. Hu tanila. He cited this brisa, v'hu amar lo, and he explained the significance. Lomar, shetoken al kol musaf u'musaf. That you are supposed to blow for every single musaf. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah challenges his opinion. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Erev Shabbos shebesoch achag, hayusha memchet. Erev Shabbos, on the Yontif of Sukkos, there were 48. V'im Isa, if Rav Acha Bar Chanina is correct, that every time that there are two musafim, you add an additional what? Additional three blasts. So in order to get to the maximum number of 48, I didn't need Erev Shabbos. I could have used an illustration of what? Shabbos Chol HaMoed. Because then you would blow three for the Korban Musaf of Shabbos, and three for what? For the Korban Musaf of Sukkos. Listni Shabbos Shibisoch Achag. And then what's going to happen? Mishkachasla Chamshin V'chad. You will now have not only 48, but what are you going to have? 51. Because everything that you did on Friday will also be done on Shabbos. All of the Nisuch HaMayim, everything will take place. So why wouldn't you... So the Mishnah doesn't say that the maximum is what? 51? The Mishnah says the maximum is 48.
But all the ones in Bo Erev Shabbos are not
going to... Ah! Good. We'll talk about that. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a second. Hold on. Amar Rabbi Zeiras, Rabbi Zeiras says, no. Lefi she'ein token lepsicha she'arim b'Shabbos. No. Rav Acha Bar Chanina doesn't contradict the Mishnah. Because three that are listed in the Mishnah, namely, the announcement that you're supposed to blow when? The opening up the gates, and the daily basis, that's the daily ones, was not done on Shabbos. The announcement that the gates of the Mikdash are open are not being done, is not on Shabbos. We'll see why in a second. Amar Rava, I just want to show you the dissenting opinion, then explain it. Man ha, who is this person? Delochash lekimcha, who is not concerned about kemach. What does it mean? Means the basics. Kemach, flour, is the basic ingredient to make bread. He's looking for fancy drushes. He doesn't know the basics yet. It's a nice way of attacking Rav Acha Bar Chanina. Chada. The Bechol Yom Tanan. The Mishnah says that the Psicha She'arim was done when? Bechol Yom. Bechol Yom. So how do you, Rav Acha Bar Chanina, claim that what? That on Shabbos they didn't blow for the Psicha She'arim? That's mistake number one that you made. Because the Mishnah says that there were 21 every single day of the year. 21 Bechol Yom. Look at the Mishnah. Look at the Mishnah on Nun Gimel Amud Beis, second line in the Mishnah. Bechol Yom Hayusham Esrim V'Achas. And three of them are Psicha She'arim. So it says Kol Yom. Doesn't say Kol Yom. Chutz Mishabbos. It doesn't say that. That's question number one. Furthermore, the Ode. If you would like to assume that what? That that even though, like you say, you don't blow the Psicha She'arim, so you still have 48, even if you're right, Lisnei Shabbos Shebesoch HaChag HaYusham HaBar Shmoneh the Shamet Mino Tarte Shamet Mino the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov V'shamat mina, the Rav Acha Bar Chanina. I would prefer illustrating the 48 blessed case instead of Erev Shabbos. I would rather the 48 on Shabbos itself. Why? Your question is a very. You said, what about the three, the six that disappear because of what? But they're always nine for every Korban Musaf, not just three. Every Korban Musaf has nine. So
they don't blow the Melacha, they don't blow the Abdullah.
Correct.
They don't blow the Sha'arim, according to his opinion.
That would be exactly replacing the nine. So he's asking the question, even if you are correct, why would the Mishnah have chosen Erev Shabbos Shesoch HaChag to indicate the maximum, when I could have chosen Erev Shabbos, Shabbos Shesoch HaChag, and have two bigger chedushim. Chidush number one, that Rav Acha Bar Chanina is right, that you blow on every musaf. And chidush number two is that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is correct, that you are, that you blow al gabei hamizbeach and not when on the Malah Asiris. Why would the Mishnah have chosen the lesser of the two chidushim to highlight the day in which 48 kios happen to be blessed? That's the second question. Therefore, Elam Arava. No. I disagree with him completely, Rav Acha Bar Chanina, that you do not blow separately for a Korban Musaf of Shabbos and a Korban Musaf of Yom Tov. 1 9 blast unit for every Korban Musaf around. All the Korbanos Musaf. So let's spend a minute analyzing what's the debate. Whether you should have separate tkiyos for each karban musaf, or one blast set of nine for a karban for all of the karban musaf together. So if you go to Daf Nun Hey Amir Aleph for a minute, on the third line, the Gemara explicitly says that they reject Rav Acha Bar Chanina. Takes a while to get to it. That's what I'm showing you in advance. The Tani, third line, the Tani Rav Bar Shmuel, Yachal Kishem Kishetoken Al Shabbos Bifnei Atzmo V'Rosh Chodesh Bifnei Atzmo Kach Yutoken Al Kol Musaf V'Musaf, that perhaps since you blow on Shabbos and since you also blow on Rosh Chodesh, that when they combine, you should do what? Well, what? For both? Talmud Leimar, Uvrashi Chad Sheichem. Uvrashi Chad Sheichem, how you learn out from Uvrashi Chad Sheichem that what? That you only blow once? Because the drash is, Uvrashi Chad Sheichem, even if it's on Shabbos. Even if Rosh Chodesh or Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh is also on Rosh Hashanah. So you would blow for Rosh Chodesh and for Yantav? Says no. You blow for Rosh Chodeshem, and that's it. And the Gemara says, Tiyufta de Racha Tiyufta. We reject Rav Acha's opinion. You do indeed, you do not blow for each Karbat Musaf separately. But Rav Acha Bar Chanina did believe it. And the question is, what is the source of the debate between the two opinions? So there are two ways to explain it. Explanation number one is based on the following. Hillel, you mentioned Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes, which I did not read in when we read the Pasuk. Go back to the text for a second. Pasuk Tes. The Ramban in Chumash posits that even though I told you 2 seconds ago that the first seven psukim of this unit have no correlation, no carryover to when Am Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, and that those seven psukim only focus on the Midbar, says the Ramban, that's wrong. That's wrong. There are expressions of each activity, even the Dor Dorot. One of the signals that they used in the Midbar was to gather people. L'mikra ha'eda, to gather people. Says the Ramban, the two psukim which describe the Dor Dorot have two types of calling for gathering. One is Pasuk Tes. V'chi tavo milchama be'artzachem al hatzar hatzorer eschem. What is happening? What's happening? What's happening?
War.
There's war. So what if the Lord of Chatzot says when there's war? Says the Ramban in Chumash, you can read it when you get home tonight. It's not the Monday night game is a garbage game. You don't have to bother wasting time. Unless you were here all night about
Martin.
About Martin, right, and Incognito. Because they're not going to talk about the game. So what do you need? Says the Ramban, the purpose of the Chatzotos is kinufya, to gather people. What if to gather people? Some of the people are going out to war. But not every member of Klal Yisrael goes out to war. Women typically did not go out to battle. Members, young adults below age 20 did not go out to battle. Senior citizens over 60 did not go out to battle. So does that mean that they should not participate in the war effort at all? Says the Ramban, of course they participate. What do? They come together and they daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uv'yo'u v'chi savo al atzar atzorer eschem v'hareyosem b'chatzotzros. And it's the lashon of the trua, hareyotem, not the tkia. Why? Because the trua is always the symbol of what? Eight tsara. There's a crisis going on. That's why he's crying and so on and so forth. So in order to mobilize the rest of Klal Yisrael to join the war effort, not that they should be sitting home watching ESPN while the guys are on the battlefield, so we summon them to the shul, to the Batei Knesset, which is the parallel to Moshe's assembling everybody in the desert. V'karu b'ayin ha'ayda, to l'mikra ha'ayda, to assemble the people.
Who was responsible for when they went to war to blow the chatzos?
Not sure. Kalani? It seems to be the Kohanim. Yes. And don't forget, if you look in Parsha Shoftim, there is a Parsha for there's a Kohen called the Kohen Mashuach Melchama. Mm-hmm. The Kohen who was anointed for one specific task, to give the charge. We're going out to battle. Don't be afraid. Anybody who's a coward, you can stay home. Right? You can stay home. Or somebody else. You know, and he tells him, Shema Yisrael, Atem Krevim Hayom LaMilchama. And you say the pasuk which we say at the end of the tefillah for the Chayalim. Right? Ki Hashem Elokecham Hu Alechem Lachem Hu Yilachem Lachem. That's the pasuk right there. So the Kohen, he's a Mashuach, I would imagine he does the blowing. The second Kinufya, says the Ramban, is Pasuk Yud. What's the announcement in Pasuk Yud for all of Klal Yisrael to gather? What's the headline? Uviyom Simchaschem. It's Yom Tov. So what do you do when it's Yom Tov, Rabotai? Where do you assemble? You make Aliyah L'Regel. You assemble in the Mikdash. You assemble in the Mikdash. So, therefore, it is not necessary, according to this opinion, to blow for each Korban Musaf separately. Once you blow at a Korban Musaf, you know that what is today? Today's a special designation. Today is one of the Yom Simchatchem. It's characterized by a Korban Musaf. Every day of the Yom Simchatchem is a Korban Musaf day. So it's not necessary to express yourself with individual chatzotzos for each Korban Musaf, because the function of blowing the Korban Musaf is the fulfillment of Pasuk Yud. Uv'yom Simchaschem uv'moadecha. Hence, one chatzotzos, 9 blasts, is enough for every Korban Musaf that will be brought. And that's what the Gemara says. What does Rav Acha Bar Chanina say? No. Rav Acha Bar Chanina says that the function of the tkios is not to fulfill, as we just said, the announcement, the proclamation that today's Yom Simchaschem. It's the augmenting of the shir that was sung together with the korban. So there's a shir for what? For the Shabbos, for the korban tamid, for the korban musaf of Shabbos. There's a shir for what? For Rosh Chodesh, or a shir for Yom Tov. And in fact, Hagaon Omer, that based on the fact that we reject Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, that's why the halacha is that in the Mikdash they never sang two shirim. What do we do when it's Shabbos on Rosh Chodesh? What do we sing? Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat, that's for Shabbos. Then we say Baruch Hinafshi for Rosh Chodesh. In the Mikdash, they only sang one. On Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, they sang Baruch Hinafshi. You don't need two blowings. Why? Because the blowings are not related to each individual kiyum. The blowings are related to the big announcement. Hence, there was only one shir sung. Because we reject Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Bar Chanina, who says that you need separate songs to augment each Korban Musaf. Yes.
I have a problem though when you look though at the Mishnah, because Rava's saying the whole thing is B'chol Yom, but then at the end of the Mishnah, when it talks about the case of Erev Shabbos Chag, it then goes through and lists all of those 21 blasts that it originally did. Why did it need to do that? It could have just said Mosifim like it does in the middle. In the middle, when it first goes Erev Shabbos, it just says Mosifim.
Right.
Why at the end didn't it just say the same 21 Mosifim?
It's a good question.
But if anything, I can say what the Mishnah Shem was our two learnings. You're learning that not only in Shabbos don't you do the three, but on Yom Tov you still do.
That's very good. It's a very good interpretation. It's just as good as any. Yeah, it's very good. I don't know. I don't have an answer to that question. That's what, yes.
That's the question. How do we know from this pasuk about Kiyot on Musaf Shabbat?
The what? Because you have to read the Sifri. Uviyom simchatchem elu hashabbatot. Elu Shabbat. I told you this a couple of weeks ago, that Nusach Sfard, that Nusach Ashkenaz only says Yismachu b'malchuscha, that line, only at Musaf. Friday night and Shabbos morning we saw Amikad Shevi, as opposed to the Chassidim who say Yismachu b'malchuscha all the time. Why? Because Uviyom simchatchem elu Shabbatot. Where was there a chi of simcha on Shabbos? Only in Mikdash. In Gvulin, there's no chi of simcha on Shabbos. In Mikdash, there was. Because the Sifri says, Uviyom simchas, namelu Shabbatot. A second way of analyzing the machloikis is related to a Gemara in Brachos. Please take the sheets that I distributed. A Gemara in Brachos, daf mem teso meral. The topic about a third of the way down is, the topic is whether you can be chosein bishtayim. Chosein bishtayim. Namely, when you conclude a bracha, can you have multiple themes or must it conclude only with one theme? So the rule is, ein chosein bishtayim. So what the whole Gemara does is find there are 82 exceptions to the rule. Al ha'aretz, al hamazon. Oh, that's two. So the Gemara comes up with an excuse. Mikadesh Yisrael, Gehazmanin. Gemara comes up with an excuse. Well, what are you going to say about Mikadesh HaShabbos, Yisrael Gehazmanin? So Yisrael Gehazmanin, you've said, is Yisrael Dekadeshinu Lezmanin. It's not that God sanctified Israel and sanctified the times. It's Baruch Atah Hashem, Mikadesh Yisrael. God sanctified Israel, who in turn sanctified the times. But what happens when it's Shabbos? You say, Mekadosh HaShabbos, V'Yisrael V'Azmanim. It's Chosein B'Shtayim. What do? So here comes the debate between Rashi and the Talmid of Rabbeinu Yoina in Brachos as to whether Shabbos and Yom Tov, which coincide, have Kedusha Achas or Shtei Kedushot. Kedusha Achas or Shtei Kedushot. How conceptually do we look at a day that has multiple layers of Kedusha? Do we say there is no such thing as multiple layers of Kedusha? It's Shabbos and that's it. It's Shabbos. How do I know it's Shabbos? Because none of the licenses, the liberties that we take place on Yom Tov exist. When Shabbos comes up, are you allowed to cook? No. Are you allowed to carry? No. So in effect, there is only one Kedusha that is pronounced. Shabbos and Yom Tov are merged into one Kedusha. That's what Rashi says. He says, I don't have time to look. Just when you go home tonight, you'll read the Rashi there. He says, I'll tell you the Bedibur HaMaskel. It's Rashi is Chutz Mizu Amayshnah HaChadei. You'll read that Rashi. Others say no. That Yom Tov and Shabbos, despite the fact that they coincide and are layered, each maintains their own distinct character. Distinct character. There is a Kedushas Shabbos and a Kedushas Yom Tov. The Kedushas Yom Tov brings something that the Shabbos doesn't enjoy. For example, the mitzvah of Simcha. If it's Sukkot, the mitzvah that you have to eat in the Sukkah. Shabbos doesn't demand that. If it's Pesach, that you have to eat Matzah. You can't eat Chametz. So there are two separate Kedushot. It could very well be that the Machloikis between Rav Acha and Rav Chanina and the Gemara later on revolves around this question. If you perceive Shabbos and Yom Tov as two Kedushos, so the way you manifest those two Kedushos is by having one Korban Musaf and another Korban Musaf. To highlight that, what do you do? What do you do? You blow the shofar each time. But if you hold that they are considered Kedusha Achas, and when we learn Beitza, we spent many years learning Beitza, you'll see what does it mean that what are some of the differences between Kedusha Achas and Shtei Kedushot. If you look at Kedusha Achas, so then it doesn't need a separate heralding and announcement of the Yom Tov, because that Kedusha is trumped by the Kedusha of Shabbos, hence one set of Chatzoytzrois happened to be sufficient. So either you can claim that the debate between the two opinions is, what is the purpose of Chatzoytzrois in the first place? Is it an announcement? in which case one announcement is enough for every Yom Simchas Chem, or is each Chatzotzos related? It's not an announcement. It's related as an augmentation, an elaboration of the unique shear that is taking place, and each korban has had its own shear, hence its own Chatzotzos. Or do you say, no, it's rooted in a different issue, where the Shabbos and Yom Tov that coincide are considered one merged to Kedusha Achas, or Shtei Kedushot. Alright, we'll stop here, we'll continue next to Bach.
Rabbi Adam.